Welcome back. Once again, you're here, Drinks with Friends, with your hosts, Madison Ray.
And that guy, Ryan. What's cracking, everybody? We got a nerd-tastic show today.
Nerd-tastic!
Yeah.
Before we get into it, this podcast is brought to you with help from our friends at Andro DSM, Power Up,
and Susie Sweet Treats. Secret ingredient is love, not cocaine. Shout out to Susie in Africa. Mad jealous. Enjoy that.
Doing African things.
Right. Have fun climbing volcanoes and shit.
Be safe.
Yeah.
We have a special guest here with us today. I'm so pumped. He's done an episode with us.
But not
aside from the gaming episode.
Right. When we see
been about
you.
A year.
Yeah.
Been about a year.
Yeah. So welcome back.
What up? What up? What up? What up? What up? How y'all doing?
Good. Good. For those that don't know, this is Brian, aka Arsonist.
Yeah. Get familiar.
That's right.
Get familiar.
We're making content out here.
Yeah. How are things with Noobs and Bros? What's going on in your world?
Everything is good. Everything is good. The universe keeps coming around, slapping me in the face every time I try to get back on the stream. Ryan sees this.
It's
the
true.
The universe is out there just, yo, shut up. Get back over here. So I'm going to get back into it eventually. What I did was I branched off a little bit. Tried to go the Arsonist Gamer route.
Yeah.
So there's a face to Noobs and Pros instead of just pushing Noobs and Pros, you know. So, yeah, but everything's been good. Everything's been good gaming-wise. So
that's what's up.
Yep.
Any big things coming up? Any new events or content that we can look forward to?
Next Level Expo next month, August 24th. Are you... still coming out, right?
I don't know. Maybe. Oh, okay. I should be hearing something back. I entered their art contest thing that they had for like their program, like a booth.
Mm-hmm.
And so depending on how that goes, they might give a boy a free booth up there. So.
Yeah.
Hey. So yes, if that's the case, I'll definitely be there. If not, I mean, shit, probably it's Ames. We can probably go make an appearance.
Yeah.
Who knows? Make a time up.
Hey, he's trying to do a podcast.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Make a time up.
Yeah. I'll hook you up with the lady behind the scenes.
And that's what's up.
Make it happen.
Hells yeah.
But also, like, the first Friday in September, we're just going to link up and play games at Up Down, try to meet other content creators and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yep. But that's pretty much it. Just out here moving around, trying to get into things, basically.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Right. Des Moines listeners, if you know of a venue that is open to people to come in, have a gathering, bring their own equipment, but get Battlegrounds back up and running. Yeah. Hit us up, either myself, Madison Ray, or Arsonist the Gamer here, and help us put on a good time.
Everybody's asking for that back. I didn't realize so many people loved it that much.
Yeah, people want the digital hands, man.
Yo. I see. And I served you some this weekend. Oh, I'm broadcasting that everywhere. I served you some this weekend.
You going to come on my show.
Because he beat you. That's what happens when you get beat.
And I've told him to pick up the sticks like five times since then. He's like, and every single time he got something else going on.
I ain't gonna lie.
He's hitting you with that Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie, bro. I'm not gonna lie.
But I beat you.
I'm not gonna lie. I was running. I was savoring that moment for just as long as possible.
Yep. Because I'm not gonna have two off days in a row. Like, it's not going down. Because, bruh, it's...
and every time I get the chance, I rub it in because I see how angry he gets.
It's because I legit had an off day. Like, none of those rounds was I wasn't hitting any counters. This is Dead or Alive 6, by the way. If y'all want the smoke, I'm still handing it out. I had a bad day, but the kid bounces back. Come see me. Because, bro, I wasn't hitting any counters. I was playing randoms because, you know, I like to warm up on randoms. I don't need to warm up with my best person, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, so you don't go to clutch immediately.
Right, so I get the feel of everything, you know what I'm saying, get warmed up. And I was getting trash-ass characters. Like, the matchups were horrible.
Yeah.
And then I wasn't performing right with the people I did have. So it was just all bad for me that day. But I'm coming back for every single one. I'm coming back. Listen, it was a bad day, and I'm coming back for every single one. Okay?
And I believe it. I believe it.
Everyone.
So I'm going to run as long as possible until it catches me on the console.
By the way, saw that art piece that you had done for Arsonist.
Right.
The Mario 3 inspired piece of work. Super dope.
Thank you.
It looks so good. It looks so good. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. Where can they find
Instagram Arsonist NAP. You can go Facebook, Arsonist, NAPR, Noobs and Pros. Just check out one of those. Oh, and it's even, how do I forget my own website?
Sir.
Noobsandpros.com. You can just go there.
Yeah, let's start there. Go to the website. That being said, check out this work, but also, like, give my man some more.
Yeah, if you need that logo design, hit me up.
Those commissions, amazed, bro. Yes. Those commissions are everything. Yeah. And like, man, the work is so crisp. Damn. I was, like, not to say that I'm not impressed when I see your stuff, but, like, I was, like, extra.
I mean, but you've been seeing it for years.
Yeah, yeah. So. But I was, like, that one, I was, like, especially, like,
yeah, I felt that same way too. I was like, it's gonna be dope, but when I seen it, I was like, yo, why does it seem like he snapped off? Like,
right,
right. I made this move to digital.
That's what it was. It was the move to digital.
Like, yeah,
my music was the same way. As soon as I moved to digital, I was like,
yeah,
oh, we rocking. We really rocking now.
Started feeling yourself.
exactly.
One thing about it though is it's put me back in it. Like, I, when I was younger, and you would remember this drawing, like, I was a super perfectionist. Like, yeah. I would, like, draw and erase. And so I took an entire year in, like, eighth grade, I think, where I would only draw in ink myself of that. Yeah. Like, I would only draw in pen, so I could, like, get to past that, right? Yep. Like, I gotta get over it. And I'd been operating like that, even in getting back into it. I was, like, making stuff, didn't have to be perfect, just had to be finished. I was just making. Now that I've gone digital and with the ease of undo and, like, refresh and change and shit, I'm, like, right back to that profession. Like, nope, that line ain't right. Double tap that shit. Nope, that line ain't right. Double tap that shit.
Yeah, but that's what then makes your work then so good, is now you have that perfectionist mentality, but now you have, like, the speed and
accuracy. Yeah, that's a quick turnaround on
that digital gives you that just, you know, pen and paper just cannot do.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. So yeah, it's fun. Check us out. We're all on Instagram, Twitter, all that shit. Like I said, we're building content out here.
Put that work.
But you know what? Let's get into it.
Today's
talking
topic
about building content.
Yo, ain't nobody.
Jesus, Hall H. Christ, Marvel.
They literally put on the gauntlet and came in there and just
this week. Like, this last week was just like, you thought Endgame was like it?
Right?
Because I think people who are I wouldn't say non-fans, but like really passive fans, thought that Endgame was like the actual end of the Marvel. Oh yeah, you've done 22 movies, and this is like the final chapter and the end.
Yeah. Now and we can move on from superhero films. Nope.
Right. Wrong. In fact, the Marvel Universe is now even bigger.
Right.
Yeah.
They brought my babies home.
Well, first off, let's start with something that's close to home for our special guest. Let's talk about Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3.
Yes. Yes.
But before we get to that, can I also just like back it up about, I don't know, what, 15 years when the first one dropped?
Yeah.
Roughly.
Pretty close, yeah.
One of my favorite games of all time, period. Like, I have some classics in my mind that will always just be great games. Mario 3 is one of those games. Legend of Zelda on the Super Nintendo is one of those games. Was it Link to the Past?
Yeah.
Is that the one?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's another, like, it's beautifully
made. That
remake's
about to drop two BT dubs.
Final Fantasy 7's on that list. Resident Evil 2 is on that list. Yeah. Or maybe 4. I don't know. It's a kind of a toss-up. Which one's more classic?
Yeah.
But
I think I'll finally
Marvel Ultimate Alliance is also on that top list for me, because it was like finally a game that reflected all of the like fantasies that you have about what happens when I get my favorite superheroes to team up and literally just beat up hordes of bad guys.
Well,
with a good story.
It was a direct sequel, basically. I mean, it was growth upon the X-Men Legends franchise.
Yeah. Right. That's the thing is, I played X-Men Legends and it didn't hit in the same way that Ultimate Alliance did.
X-Men Legends for me was broken in the most perfect way. Like, specifically because of two of my favorite X-Men, Iceman, fuck you, B, and Nightcrawler. We'll get into that later. and Nightcrawler. Like, Nightcrawler, once you level Nightcrawler up, you can just breeze through any level, because he's teleporting. He's teleporting through walls, so I'm just, like, skipping head parts.
Yep.
And then, like, here comes the team, like, porting in behind me, like, oh, hey, wait up. Beating the hell out of Morlocks with ice gauntlets, because I got Iceman on the squad. And then they gave me Magneto, too, bruh. X-Men Legends is top five for me.
Sure.
Actually, I should stream.
Ultimate Alliance makes top 10.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, well, I mean, it's built on the same gaming concept.
Right.
It's a beat 'em up. team up RPG because the characters level up. You can give them items.
Yeah.
You know, there are different skins and costumes. Actually, give them different buffs and all right. types yes. of things, yep. which is a really cool concept.
Squad buffs, depending on who you have. Yeah. Team.
Which is what was so great about, I think, Ultimate Alliance was that it really actually unpacked so many different pieces of the Marvel Universe that the X-Men never could touch.
True.
Right? Because in one game, you fought Galactus, Doctor Doom, you were doing the S.H.I.E.L.D. thing, like, they only hinted at the Incredible Hulk, but, like, there
Atlantis,
are... Atlantis. Yeah, like, Atlantis. Yeah. They hit every major piece of the Marvel creative...
Except yeah. Wakanda, which yeah. they say they did rectify Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2,
right.
which was, in my opinion...
I mean, they went to hell and fought Mephisto.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they had there was, everybody.
There was something in there for everybody. Like, if you didn't know the whole Marvel Universe that well,
yeah.
you was getting the characters you knew, and then they were like, now, go learn
By the way.
Right. right. They gave you the X-Men. Because, like, yeah. I mean, in the original, what, they had, like, what, Storm...
Wolverine.
Wasn't it Cyclops?
No, Cyclops didn't come into the second one.
Yeah. Which I think was smart because he would basically play like Iron Man. Yeah. As far as like in the yeah. older games projected.
But then they hit you with the Avengers, they hit you with the Fantastic Four, Blade was in there, Ghost Rider was in there, Doctor Strange. Right. Like Silver Surfer was like the last character you get to unlock, which was really unfair.
And you had to do like extra special stuff to go and get him. But it wasn't that unfair because it...
He's so powerful.
These games, these games are some of the first in the modern age of gaming that had that introduced replayability.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, they gave you reasons to want to go back, play with different characters. Mm-hmm. But like I said, for the first time outside of, like, your PS1 JRPGs where you had multiple endings that you had to grind for. Like, you actually wanted to go back in and be like, oh, let me see how this goes when I got this squad.
Yeah. And that's also another nice little Easter egg is that depending on the scenario, if you had the right team, the interactions would change.
Yep.
Like the cutscenes and the dialogue would be just a little bit different if you had the right person at the right place at the right time.
Yep.
We could also lead to some nice little bonuses and rewards.
Right.
Yep. So yeah, it was just a really brilliant piece of work, not only visually and thematically and story wise, but also like it hit every like geek button for me.
Yeah.
So that being said, the fact that there's another one out had me real excited because it's just one of those things that's like I'm glad that they didn't bail on such a I think damn near perfect gaming concept,
right.
Especially when first person shooters became like the flavor for
battle,
so long, you know,
like, and battle royale
games. Yeah, battle royale games are like the flavor right now, so everyone's just kind of jumping on that thing. It's like it's good to mix it up and see something different.
Yeah,
and I hate battle royales, so that's just me. I'm the weird one. But yeah, so B, give us your impressions. Like, what do you think
so far? What I think. It's perfect.
Yeah.
I really feel, but that's just the fanboy in me. Like, I see all the things where it's like, yo, they actually put this character in here? Like, Crystal. Like,
yeah, that one threw me off.
Right? Like, my son was like, who is Crystal?
Yeah, who is
like,
that?
And I'm like,
that's Johnny Storm's girl. Like, but I got that deep knowledge.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Like, you know, and they see those characters and they're wanting to dig even deeper. Mm-hmm. So it's like, expanding on, okay, so this is bigger than just the movie things.
Right.
You know, it's bigger than just comic books. There's a whole actual universe for me to explore and dig deep into.
Yeah. Right?
So the game to me, the costumes, the riffs, the all that stuff, I'm geeking out.
Yeah, I think it's also, what's really clever, especially I guess considering the timing, is that now with the cultural power that the movie franchise has given the Marvel Universe characters, like it just has a different, it just hits different now.
Yeah.
You know, like the first Marvel Ultimate Alliance, the first one dropped when the Marvel Universe launched their Ultimate concept, which was about getting new fans in, younger fans in, but also presenting the comics as plausible movie franchises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it felt different, it felt new, it was kinetic.
Based off of real life casting.
Right. The pages were black, so it felt like you were watching a movie shot by shot. And the cultural buzz that had created gave them, I think, an extension, so it didn't feel like kid stuff so much anymore. Because if you remember, when you first get that first squad, they all in their ultimate gear.
Right.
You know, you had to unlock the classic guns. Right. So now we're in this new space where Guardians was a throwaway garbage concept.
For real.
It's one of the most popular things to do. Rocket Raccoon's like legit. You know, not just some dumb joke character.
Right.
Or like,
he could have been Howard the Duck.
Right.
It could have been Howard.
Could have been Howard. Exactly. Yeah. And if you don't know who Howard the Duck is, do your research.
That's right. He has a movie that's so bad it's good.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that thinks that.
Yeah, it's so bad that it's really highly entertaining.
It is straight up.
But yeah, and then the new game, you came over, you jumped in. I was already a couple hours in when you jumped in, but it starts off as the Guardians. Like the whole game starts off with Rocket and Star Lord talking trash about, you know, basically offending their employers before they got paid, and now it was a whole big thing. You go through, you run through the squad base, you start off with the Guardians, you end up on Earth. I won't give y'all spoilers, let y'all go out and play the game. But you end up on Earth, and then here comes Spider-Man. Like, he's the first one to jump in. Of course, Spider-Man, Far From Home, just released.
Yep.
So they went ahead and got that in there. Like, the whole marketing behind it has been really genius.
So speaking on like the movies and the success of these franchises, the coolest thing to me, actually, when we went to the character select screen, is there's Spider-Man, Spider-Gwen, Venom, and Miles Morales.
Whole Spider Squad.
So you have exactly all of these different Spider characters.
And then they put Black Widow in there because she's named. So you get the Web Warrior bonus, right?
Yeah.
And then I was like, looking, and you could see like who gets you the bonus. And I was like, Black Widow. Why the? I'm like, oh, because she's named
after a spider.
Sorry.
Took me a minute.
She doesn't swing. It doesn't count. Like, straight up.
But that's exactly the thing. It's, you know, Into the Spider-Verse is arguably one of the best movies I've ever seen. Not superhero based. Not Spider-Man franchise. Period. One of the best animated pieces of work I might have ever seen in my entire life. And it won that Oscar. Like, it has a whole other level of value to it.
It's my top three animated movies.
So to bring all those spider characters in, that's such a cool, like, move, you know, to make sure they're hitting all of those points. Yeah. What, do you love this? Do you love that? Can we represent this? Can we represent that?
And it's cool because you would think that they all have the same moveset, but they don't. Like, our friend Dupree, we were talking about it, where he keeps Peter Parker in his squad, and I'm like, okay, that's cool, I get it. I keep Miles Morales in mine for different reasons. Like, as the electric webs, is better for crowd control. So if I get, like, a big group, I can basically stick them onto the floor with the electro webs, and then have the squad proceed to beat that ass. Versus, you got regular Spidey, who's more projectile-based and things like that, which is cool, but you got me turned on to Iron Man in the squad, because at first I didn't care about Iron Man.
Then, really?
Bad Rick, he wasn't in my squad.
Yeah. So when I picked up the sticks, you know, I was going to, let me pick my character. Let me get my one in the squad, and we can kind of figure out how it kind of fits in. Yeah. I like Iron Man.
Okay.
Maybe from my experience with the older games, because, like, he was a really great projectile fighter.
Yeah.
You know, when he leveled up, he had a thing where he could charge up and basically one hit anything, no matter how big or small, like just powered up, boom, knock him out. So, and also he can fly and has super strength.
Yeah.
So like any of those
great all around character.
Yeah. Again, another aspect of this game which is so cool to me is that there are all these environmental pieces where you actually require certain skills to move forward or to unlock things or to break this thing. It's like, oh, we need someone who can fly over this thing or can lift something heavy to move the big thing out of the way so we can go further. So like it's environmentally based, is you have to plan ahead and have a great strategy to have a great team. Mm-hmm. But also then encourages a player to diversify and not just like stack one character or four characters to be your always go-to.
Yeah.
I threw Iron Man in because that Unibeam be lighting him up.
Yeah. And so then,
he charges and then just clears everything up.
And he has the one that spins. So he has like the full 360 one. So that combined with Miles Morales is like electric webs. And then I have Ms. Marvel on the squad and she has like the big feet where she basically like goes super size and just knocks people out. Just clears the area like boom. Carpet bombs. Like,
now that's an interesting addition to the cast.
Ms. Marvel. Yeah.
Now for our listeners who don't know, do you want to explain Ms. Marvel is?
Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan, she's one of the generation's heroes. She's one of the younger heroes, part of the champions with Miles Morales in the comic books. She got her moniker from her favorite hero, the original Ms. Marvel, a.k.a. Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers. She has the costume that has the homage and everything, but her powers are a la Reed Richards. She stretches and grows and so forth and whatnot.
And it's really fantastic on the point of representation to see
Muslim.
A Muslim, like Arab American character represented as not just, like, even not even as a sidekick character. She is legit fully realized as her own young hero self. Yeah. And that's such a great piece because the one thing I think that actually edges Marvel over DC is that they are progressively minded to reflect where we are as a culture right now.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Like, so even like the big mainstays start to get diversified where you're seeing black characters take on these mantles, Captain America being replaced by Falcon, or seeing women sit in roles like Jane Foster becoming Thor, right? So even the big mainstays are now starting to kind of warp and change, but also now you're seeing these new characters like Miles Morales, who is
Afro-Latino Spider-Man.
An Afro-Latino Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome, because I remember growing up, as much as I love the comic books, there was never a representation of self and be able to see myself in these characters. I loved the adventures, but there wasn't the full fantasy realized to be like, oh, that could be me.
Well, that's why that kind of thing. I think, and this is kind of off topic, but that's why I think DC needs to bring back their milestone line. Like, I think now is the perfect time to bring back the milestone line, which was Static, the original Static, Icon, Hardware, the Syndicate, like, bruh. Oh my god. And they were great books. The art was great. The storylines were great. And now would be the perfect time to resurrect. I mean, they even got Static back in the Young Justice, you know, series on DC Universe. Like,
Oh, do they really?
Yeah. He's in there, and he's one of the mainstays in this third season. Like,
I haven't got to check out him up there.
So, yeah, I mean, now would be the perfect time for it. But yes, Ultimate Alliance kills it with the representation. You gotta come back through. I'm in the X Mansion now.
Oh, see, there it is.
Yeah.
spoiler alert, I didn't know we was going to the X Mansion.
Well, I know. Oh, but where you are, you got to Shadowlands.
Yeah, I got to Shadowlands, and then my memory card corrupted on me, and I had to start all over. I had to re-download every game I had. And it just, I don't know where.
The universe is trying to kick you down, right? Absolutely. We're having a great time. Yeah. It never happened.
Where in Shadowland did you get to?
I just met up with Daredevil.
Daredevil? Okay. Yeah. Have fun with that Kingpin fight.
That's what I keep hearing.
Jesus.
Bruh! How many times did you fight this dude?
At least 12. Like, legitimately. And it was probably like a solid 8 to 10 minutes each. We spent like an hour and a half on Kingpin.
I'm trying to stream it so people can see.
It was a wild fight. We legit actually had to sit down and like strategize.
Yeah, and then
so wait.
Those fights.
Who do we need?
Squad. All right, let's go back to the shield point. Switch up the squad. We need to power some people up. Like,
go back through. See how we could like buff who, and if you need to get like those little squad bonuses to help. Hedge our bets going into this fight.
We do this. Only then I remember they had the web, like almost like the Final Fantasy X thing, where you can go in and do like your buffs, like that.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah,
I forgot all about that, and I was like, oh shit, let's up our durability. I'm here whooping ass, like I'm fighting waves and waves of enemies. So right. Whatever. I don't care about that.
That actually makes me happy though, because I felt like I was going through just beating everybody up, and I didn't have to think about what team I was put together, just butt mash.
Well, that's the thing is, I think we went into that first fight with that arrogance, like, oh, we played this game since we were kids, like, we got this, like, I'm a good gamer, he's a better gamer than I am, like, we're gonna go through, we're gonna just have some fun.
Yeah.
And then Kingpin was like, not today,
today.
Okay,
and I'm thinking, like, Kingpin in, like, the Spider-Man PS4 game, like, that was the first fight of the game, I'm like, bet, whatever, Kingpin, he caught those hands, went on Dolo with Spider-Man.
First 10 minutes. Exactly.
He ain't got no superpowers. He's a big fat white dude. Like, I ain't worried about you. Like, I'm Iron Man.
Exactly. And he said, I don't
Who's
care.
Who's stopping me? I am Iron Man.
So yes, this was clearly the Into the Spider-Verse kingpin we were fighting, the one that killed Spider-Man. Because he definitely murdered us a few times.
It was not pretty.
Yeah. And then, then there's another fight, the next fight after Shadowlands, right? I'm just going to tell you, you go to Avengers Tower, and it's Ultron. Dupree streamed that.
Really?
Yes. And that one, I'm like, the first iteration of Ultron, not that big a deal. I took him down, no problem.
Yeah.
And then the second one. Yeah, like the second step of it, it changes up and it's dope. It's like, fuck, you're going to play it today. There's like a Godzilla style battle where Ultron takes over Ultimo's body.
Oh my
like
God.
It corrupts it. So he's like, as tall, like you're on the roof of Avengers Tower and he's as tall. And then here comes Scott Lang's Ant-Man who goes to Giant Man and they have a straight like Godzilla, Mecha Godzilla battle.
Oh,
while you're fighting waves of Ultron dudes on the roofs.
I got a
And maybe it's part of it because I'm playing with Riley, right? And so Riley's doing what he wants to be Star-Lord. Like, all right, so I power Star-Lord up for him, right?
Yeah.
So we're out there, and it was probably like 3 or 4 tries. And then so I see the pre-stream, and I'm like, yeah, have fun with this one. He beat my ass, too. And then he had a completely different squad than I did, and just first time, no problem.
Washes.
Right. So, like, it really depends on your team dynamic. Like, I focus more on the melee type people. Like, I want to get in close. Where Bree was all about projectiles and staying back.
Yeah.
And in that particular fight, it served him well. I don't think that projectile style is going to do him much good when he gets to the X-Men.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah.
Right. That's the cool thing. Is like, you really get to explore different strategies and different ways of thinking. It's a great game. You know, like, usually it's not my bag, but I'm out here. I'm going to promote it. If you ain't got it, go get it.
Before we move on off of that, I had sit there and I thought about something last night with this game too. All these characters that we're looking at, do you think we need to actually get familiar with these characters? Because this is what we're going to be seeing.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Okay. Some of them are 100% pure fan service, but I know Disney had talked about, like, they weren't done with Inhumans after the TV show flopped.
Yeah.
Like, originally it was supposed to be a movie that was supposed to come out last week.
Yeah, it was like
and then they switched it to the TV show, series, which did horribly because it wasn't good.
Yeah. Someday.
I watched the first episode and I was like, this shit is boring. I tried to watch the second episode. I got, like, 20 minutes in and I, like, switched to The Office or some shit that I'd seen 30 times.
Yeah, already. Yeah.
It just wasn't good. So having Crystal in there, also, I think, here's my prediction. We know from our next topic that we're going to get into, Fantastic Four is coming.
Yep. Yeah.
Fantastic Four, they're going to use to reintroduce the Inhumans. Maybe not the first one, but in one of them, they're going to use to reintroduce the Inhumans to get that second go of that. Like I figure like in the movie, Johnny Storm is going to be with some girl, ends up being Crystal of the Inhumans, and go on from there.
And then you can develop that franchise based on
she'll be in there. I had heard a rumor last year that Mindy Kaling from The Office and everything like that had been hired by Marvel to start working on Miss Marvel script.
I did hear that.
I'd watch that.
Right?
I'd watch the shit out of that.
Exactly.
Because what made me think of that was like I was looking at the DLC that was coming out. And I was like, it was kind of funny that now all of a sudden they say Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's Fantastic Four DLC coming. There's an X-Men DLC coming on the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, and then we get Colossus and Cyclops next month for free.
For free. Yeah,
and then we get Loki before his show drops.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, oh, you slick bastard.
Oh, they know exactly. Yo, Disney don't play.
Not only that, but in the Marvel Knights, when Mephisto's going to be one of the characters, and that's coming out with some. Like, they're really worth it smart because Sony's even dropping the Mephisto movie.
Morbius.
Moon Knight.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then Blade. And I was like, if they plan that, we're going to put Blade in here. We had old boy hit us up. Blade in here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're geeked about the DLC Blade. And then you bring him out, and we're like,
You're getting ahead of us. That's a good segment.
But I want to take a break because I want to give I want to give plenty of time to unpack this next segment.
Yes.
So we'll take a little break and we'll be right back.
And we're back.
And I'm real pumped for this next segment.
Yeah. Let me hold. Let me pull up this info.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Prepare yourself.
Stuff to talk about.
So in addition to dropping this dope game, San Diego Comic-Con was this weekend, which is a really big deal, especially because this is the time that movie studios start, like, revealing all of their big master plans.
It's the biggest nerd con event.
Yeah, culture of the year. It's one of those things I used to think I wanted to go to until it got so big that like I just would feel too anxious about like
people had to camp overnight to even get in the room for this for the Marvel Hall presentation.
And it's like, well, there's a part of me that would love to see that. I don't want to fuck with any of that.
Yeah, when we get big enough to just be able to walk in.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Right.
That's what I said.
Right.
Like, oh, no, I'm not camping, but once it's like, oh, you're here, bet. Come on through.
Oh, you got seats with my name on it?
Right.
Oh,
okay. Exactly. Exactly. When they ask us to be on the panel.
Yeah.
Exactly. Then, a good friend of ours, Elena Flores, has been a panelist for Comic-Con for several years.
Mm-hmm.
She's a costumer in Hollywood.
Really?
And because she's worked on some science fiction based content, it gives her access. She was in there hanging out with the people that like made the Batman costume and the Superman costumes. You know, like it's one of those weird things that the industry is actually so small that like once you know somebody, like you start to when you start to learn who the people are, it's like the same 10 people that keep showing up for everything.
Yeah.
Because the ones who got the juice.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, who made that? Oh, that's caught him. Done. And so she's been in really good company as a costumer that like just like it's so funny, just on this topic of this content. Like she sent me some behind the scenes shots of a project she was working on, which was the Deadpool porn.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Like the official Deadpool pornography. There's a particular director. His bread and butter happens to be making parodies of geek concepts, right?
Yeah.
So he's got a Justice League one, he's got an X-Men one, he did an Avengers one, and of course, which means you got to get the Deadpool one.
Right.
And so she's doing the costume work on the Deadpool porn, and she's showing me the costumes, and they're legit, bro. Like it's like legit movie quality.
It's got a dick hole in it.
That's my question. That was my first question.
She said, oh, he just unzips. Like, it's just a fly.
You know,
like,
you know,
like, pulls it out. Like,
and
oh,
I didn't
want to
sound so
exciting.
Perverted saying it.
Nah,
and then I was like, do I say that I'm actually going to go home and Google this? Because that's going to make me easier. Because
now you're going to be like, no, I know the
okay,
girl
but,
made that.
No, for our listeners and for your curiosity, you can actually go on YouTube and find these movies with all of the sex scenes edited out because the budget's so big that there's still a whole movie that you can watch without the pornographic parts.
That's dope.
Okay. Yeah, I watched this scene where it was Green Lantern and Wonder Woman like meeting for the first time, and like Wonder Woman's having a sparring session with her like lady partner. And then Green Lantern shows up and he's like, want to go save the world? And then, like, it obviously implies some other stuff happens because she hits him with that lasso of truth. But, like, the production value was high. Dude was glowing green. He flew in the whole nine. So, like...
Yeah, I'm going to have to go check these out.
So, shout out. Yeah. No, anyway. Marvel made their big announcement. Specifically, Phase 4... for all the new content that's going to be coming up in the next just two years.
10 things dropping in the next 2 years.
Well, first off, Disney Plus is going to be
huge.
Massive.
Ridiculous, yes.
Right.
And then they said it was like $7, wasn't it?
Yeah.
A month? Okay.
Yeah. $7 a month.
Which is now like basically half the price of Netflix.
Yeah. It's built on four branches of the Disney content.
Okay.
National Geographic, Disney, like the princess stuff.
Yeah.
Or I guess classic or traditional Disney.
Yeah.
Donald and Goofy, Mickey, princess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Star Wars and Marvel.
Yeah.
Those four franchises
with Star Wars. The low-key fifth wheel of Fox. They still got the Fox franchises. They don't know exactly what they're going to do with, but they just shut down FX Plus. Like, they just announced that FX Plus, their streaming service, was ending, which is where all of the episodes ever of The Simpsons were. So I'm thinking Disney Plus is going to put all of the episodes of The Simpsons on there. They got the Alien franchise. They got the Predator franchise.
Jeez.
They got X-Files. They got
Yeah.
everything.
It's going to be everything you've ever wanted to watch.
Yeah. Everything
that's crazy.
And then creating their own original content for the platform of Disney Plus.
Because obviously, when you hear Disney gets it, you know what they was really going after. They was going after the mutants. They was going after. You kind of forget, like, yo, Fox had some
all this
hits.
Other stuff.
Fox was very successful for a very long time.
Terminator.
Yeah.
Bruh, it's real.
Jeez.
You know, and they got Jon Favreau, who started with Iron Man,
right?
Just dropped Lion King.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's working on The Mandalorian. If you know who or what that is, that's like the Boba Fett people.
Yeah.
His
race of helmeted bounty hunters.
Yes. Yeah. And they're doing a whole series just based on that alone.
Yep.
So what that implies is that it actually, you know, I made a comment about how the Marvel Universe is now just getting bigger. Literally, now with all these extra series they can develop, it's actually going to help them build more content and greater storylines for greater payoffs, for bigger movies. So if you thought Endgame was big, like, if and when there's an Avengers 5...
There will be.
I mean, nigga, there better be. Listen, I'm invested.
Yeah.
You give me an Avengers 5.
Or at least an A-Force.
Like I said, I got theories on all of
it. Yeah,
let's get there. Right. So let's back it up. What are they pulling out for the next 2 years? Can we bring this into segments just to make this easier to kind of digest?
Yeah, for sure.
Let's start with the movies. Specifically the movies. Not the Disney Plus stuff, but the movies.
But the Disney Plus stuff leads directly
into But I'm talking about about each kind of project, then we can tie the pieces together.
All
right.
So
just follow along.
First off, Marvel every year gets the first weekend in May. Next year, no different. Black Widow dropping May 1st, 2020.
So, okay. What I've heard about this is now they're actually going to give her a fully realized story.
Yep.
Yes.
She was I think, you know, I always felt like they kind of did Black Widow and Hawkeye kind of dirty because, like, Not just that they needed their own movie, but I always felt like they were underserved as characters too.
Okay.
Like they had some plot points, but like nothing really like
major
full.
Yeah.
You know, like in Endgame, she essentially was the leader of the Avengers,
right?
And it felt really kind of glossed over. Like, you know, she's running the Avengers,
yeah,
right, guys?
Well, not just the Avengers, but she's the one who's really running the recovery and adjustment efforts for all the people that.
Yeah.
We're
right.
left.
Right. Exactly.
After the snap, blip, whatever you want.
Right.
Well, snap.
And I think there's also a lot of still just kind of disgruntled feelings that the red in her ledger that she kept talking about was that, you know, she was sterilized. Mm-hmm. So her ability to become a mother was taken away from her, which obviously is like a pretty strong plot point, but also feels like some low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Until they flipped it around and basically the world... was her child.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a way to try to kind of rectify it, but I feel like with this movie, you can unpack that further and maybe, like, walk some of that back and do it justice.
Yeah.
I hear the villain or another character there is the Red Guardian, which is essentially Soviet Captain America.
Right. Played by David Harbour from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah.
But the main villain, though.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. There's the main villain.
Go ahead. Tell
Moon
people.
Knight.
No.
My bad. It's
Start with a T.
Taskmaster.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I'm still thinking
of apparently they showed
the lions over here.
Apparently they showed some footage at Hall H.
Yeah.
Of course the general public doesn't get to see, but there was a breakdown of it.
Yeah.
Where they show, like, you know, they talk about her and like some flashback type shit coming up. And then Taskmaster, like her Taskmaster on something on a bridge, and like he mirrors her fighting style, so it's gonna be like the dude with the fully realized like skull mask. Of course, it's gonna be stylized, but with the shield though, with the big T on it, like I'm hyped to see Taskmaster come to life.
I love how these movies take some of like the wackest characters, and you're like,
yeah,
how's that gonna work? And they're like, oh, never
that's
mind.
What I'm talking about.
Like,
exactly what
do
I'm
you remember?
About.
Like, do you remember in Winter Soldier the opening sequence? And Captain America fights Batroc the Leaper.
Right.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That
and it
the
was
weakest, action. The weakest villains.
And they got one of the most badass like UFC fighters ever
right.
to play him. Like,
right. Right.
GSP came through.
I was like, okay, this is cool.
Right.
Like,
so now I need to know what y'all are gonna do with Pace Poppy for Spider-Man.
it's like I was saying, it's so weird to me because they pull these like characters you would never expect. For like to mainline a main villain,
yeah.
like
Baron Zemo
like,
in Civil War.
Yeah, we'll get into
that.
Yeah,
we gotta talk more about him later too.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's keep moving then. Yeah. We got there's a lot.
You
said
you want movies.
Yeah, movies, right, movies, movies.
All right, so then from there, then November of 2020, you got The Eternals.
Now, I know nothing about The Eternals. I'm a comics fan. Like,
very little.
Bruh, I wrote my thesis for college to get my degree on comic books. I don't know shit about The Eternals. I don't know. Like, I know what they are.
Created by the Celestials,
but these who also created the Infinity Stones. Talked about, but these characters they're talking about, and like Angelina Jolie's on whatever. Hey, she's a big star, bro.
Okay, so, all right.
That's all you had to say.
Can I just say, up till halfway through the presentation for the Eternals, like we knew it was coming. I didn't care.
I don't think a lot of people.
I don't care about
it. It's like Guardians. Yeah. It's like Guardians. Yeah. People go, okay, what is that?
Right.
And this movie's going to be the chance for them to, like, make that matter for us.
Yeah. But it's going to be interesting, though, because knowing... Okay, so the characters, again, created by the Celestials, which are the same people who created the Infinity Stones. They're immortal beings, some of which came to Earth and then split for space.
Yeah. Thanos is an Eternal.
Yes.
Thanos is an Eternal. So this is basically, like, his siblings and shit. Aunts, uncles, family, all that goodness. And Angelina Jolie didn't care. I don't really think she fits the Marvel Universe. I got the utmost faith in Marvel, so of course I'm going to see it, but didn't care. They announced Salma Hayek. I'm like, yo, definitely one of the baddest women of all time. Like, God, Salma Hayek and blow nigga.
How you with me?
Right.
Yeah.
Didn't care. Until they announced that Brian Tyree Henry, a.k.a. Paperboy from Atlanta, was going to be playing one of the Eternals, and I'm like, I'm in there.
When they said that, I was like,
yeah, and then I went and looked at the character that was playing. I'm like, who is this dude?
Yeah,
it's like, oh, he's the engineer. He carries a big ass hammer. Like, but he's like a pacifist. But then, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, yeah, I'm in here. The Eternals.
Well, the thing is, I think this is it's one of those kind of pieces, and like, hopefully, it does better than the original Thor movies did, the first couple, where it's more about helping to build the rest of what Phase 4 is going to be. Yeah. The Eternals, I think, is one of those things that's going to help establish
what comes after
for Guardians 3. What you know, or at least what's going on in space now. You know, there's that line about without the Infinity Stones, it creates an imbalance.
Yeah. Okay.
In the universe, right? Yeah. Like those are crystallized physical versions of like key forces within the universe.
Checks and balances.
Now that balance is gone by destroying them. What does that mean for the entire universe?
Yeah.
And I think my own speculation is, you know, that I think this Eternals movie will help flesh out some of those plot points that will be leading to another kind of apex point down the road.
Okay.
Possibly Galactus. I don't know.
See, you've thought more into it than I have, because I didn't know where we was going with this movie to the point where I thought this is going to be the first failure.
Mm. Interesting.
That's what I honestly think. This is going to be the first failure, and I don't think it's going to be a bad movie. I think
Marvel's
people are just not going to attract fail.
I think people will see it just off the fact that it's a Marvel movie. Like, it might not break a bill. Like,
There's a difference when it comes to Marvel and Disney fail.
Right? Exactly. It only did $228 million
first weekend.
No, I think it's going to be seen differently because. Well, I can't even say that because look at Guardians. Guardians is that one thing you can counter with it. Like, but look at
Guardians. That's what Guardians was supposed to do.
Right. Yeah. But Guardians.
But I feel, too, as long as Marvel keeps playing the genre game where they keep switching up the actual genres of the movies to have the superhero feel. Because, like, Ant-Man, superhero movie, but it's a heist movie.
Ant-Man's another weak character.
Yeah.
Like,
especially, and it wasn't even like.
I never cared about Ant-Man.
Right.
And now I do.
And it was the second Ant-Man, which you cared even less about.
Right. Scott Lang. I don't even know who Scott Lang is.
Right.
Like, now you can tell his old biography. Like,
exactly. Right. And it made perfect sense because Hank Pym, the original one, would be hella problematic in 2016 when that first movie came out. Like,
He's a wife beater, bro.
Right? Like, alcoholic wife beater. we can't do that.
Disney get looked at real funny after that.
Right?
We don't like this movie, you guys.
Yeah.
I think Eternals is that dark horse in this pack.
It'll be interesting.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
What else we got?
Next movie, May 7th, 2021. Oh, no, my bad. The February POC release is going to be Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings of the Mandarin. The real Mandarin, not the Iron Man 3 Mandarin.
I used to really rag on Iron Man 3, but I actually went back and watched it, and it wasn't
that bad. Yeah, it wasn't
as bad as you like.
It wasn't as bad as Iron Man 3.
Mm-hmm. I think Iron Man 2 is, but
I liked Iron Man 2.
I didn't like it.
I liked the suits of Iron Man.
No, no, that was cool. Yeah, that was cool. No, the visually, all the stuff.
And
but, like,
I think Iron Man 2 was really super important in Tony's character growth.
Sure, it was.
Like, so Iron Man 2 was like a good filler.
It was, but okay. I think they could have. I mean, but they had Mickey Rourke, who is a beastly actor, and they combined two different villains unnecessarily for a weak ass climax of a fight.
Red Tornado.
Crimson Dynamo, which is essentially Soviet Iron Man, right? And then what? He and War Machine, like Iron Man and War Machine, took him down in like all of 4 minutes, and it was like, this was the big fight I was waiting for.
Especially because that was before the first Avengers.
Yeah,
Iron Man 2 was before the first Avengers. Shang-Chi, they got a Canadian-Chinese actor to play Shang-Chi. Awkwafina is in it. Somehow she has really turned her raspy voice into like a really shining star. Shout out to her. She's mad entertaining. I hate it.
She's making some other movies, making some other moves. Like,
she's out here. They're introducing the real Mandarin, who in all reality is a big villain in Marvel history. Like, there's
Kung Fu Master with 10 alien magical rings.
Right?
I am so geeked for it. Just that alone.
He's like, man, I gotta know what's gonna happen now. So I'm in for Shang-Chi. On to the next. Again, first weekend in May, Marvel coming through with Doctor Strange 2. Multiverse of Madness.
So which further expands the possibilities of what they can do, right? Yeah. So now we're getting the whole universe and the multiverse.
Right.
Right.
And they're calling it Marvel's first horror film.
Which is super dope.
Right. The multiverse, so you know you're just going to have, like, I'm thinking that that might be when they introduce Marvel Zombies.
Could be.
I think with, okay, almost in Spider-Man, can we talk about Spider-Man?
Yeah, fuck it. Go.
Okay, so Spider-Man, when he, when Mysterio did the illusion, and they had Tony come up, I was like, oh, they really about to start building zombies.
Yeah.
I was in the theater dancing like, look at
that scene was legit terrifying.
That was the only scene that scared me.
When zombie Iron Man showed up, I went, nuh-uh.
Yeah, spiders crawling in his face. Yeah.
It also made me think, too, like, okay, so this is where we're at with, like, the special effects. Wait till they think about doing this Doctor Strange 2.
Yeah.
And when that dropped, I was like, well, oh, Jesus.
So this is what I loved about Doctor Strange was it was a genre-bending thing. It was talking about kind of what the truth of reality is.
Yeah.
And it felt like just a
deeply
huge
philosophical.
It felt like this huge LSD trip. The way, like, there's that bit where, like, when he has this, like, I don't know, his third eye opened and he starts to do this, and there's a thing
that
where, like,
trip where his body, like,
starts becoming all these different. Yeah. And then when he faces Dormammu and all this stuff, and with some great homages to Steve Ditko's artwork and just visually just arresting, bro. Yeah. Like, and I loved that because it was so
Inception
different.
Part of, like, the cityscapes, like, Dr. Strange is dope.
And so now being able to take that further, I hear there might be some H.P. Lovecraft inspired visuals and aesthetic, which is, like, also deeply disturbing.
Yeah.
And so if it goes that but darker,
I'm with
you. We are in for something, like, something else.
They said that it's going to be PG-13. It's going to scare the crap out of you.
And they're bringing Scarlet Witch in.
We're going to get to that.
But part of this movie is that Scarlet Witch is involved.
So PG-13 and scaring the crap out of people, that actually correlates with
each other. But I think it does, because you don't need gore and blood to be scary.
True.
Because for me, horror movies fell off when they turned into torture porn rather than being like a psychological like thriller type.
Yeah.
Okay.
And usually, like, the ratings board has no really strict rules on how it gets branded.
Yeah.
But I know that, like, you can get away with one
F-bomb.
And still skirt by. And so sometimes it's language, sometimes it's content, sometimes it's, you know, it's like, and you're right, you don't have to be bloody and gory to be to be terrifying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, and then the last actual movie with a date announced is Thor, Love and Thunder.
Love and Thunder!
The title is dope.
Shout out to Disney for realizing the gem that they had with Thor Ragnarok and bringing back Taika Waititi. And Chris Hemsworth, the one dude who was like, bro, I'll keep playing Thor as long as y'all let me play Thor.
I don't care what anybody says. If y'all say that dude is not Thor.
Right.
Yo, who's Chris Hemsworth? That is
Thor, right?
But that's the thing about this movie. He's not Thor because they're giving Jane Foster the hammer.
Which means they were able to cut a deal with Natalie Portman
to bring her back. She had a bad attitude.
You got feelings on it. Good ones or bad ones?
Share.
Both.
Okay, sure.
I love the whole female Thor aspect.
Yeah.
Where was you when we were shooting in the gym, though? You was off somewhere else?
Well, they broke up.
They broke up.
It was on a break.
Huh?
This is destiny. That's why they're going to come back together. You don't believe in what you love?
Let's do it like this,
Across the realms?
Let's do it like this, though.
Slam dunk.
No. Across the realms? You're not talking about movie terms. You was being difficult the whole time, right? You being difficult the whole time. You seen how Thor Ragnarok came out. You see Endgame and all this stuff, and you like...
But you gotta admit, that Thor Ragnarok is a completely different feel than the other two movies. Because if it was me, I wouldn't have wanted to go back after the first two either.
Bruh, you break up with me and I'm a bum. And then you come back when I'm a millionaire? I just hit the lottery. Baby, I missed you.
I bet you
did. Where were you at?
But, right? Hold up, though. You can't really say that because now she's coming back to Fat Thor.
Yo, and there's another thing with that too. If we don't see Thor's weight loss journey in this movie,
No, disagree.
It has to. It has to happen.
It doesn't.
I'm just letting you know there's a reservation at 7.
Yep. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
It doesn't. And the reason why it doesn't is because if they're going to do it this way, where Jane Foster is going to get the hammer, of course, it's just speculation and mild. But that means, and Odin being gone, that means you get all Father Thor.
Yeah.
And he could be big, bearded, eye-patched. Like,
I hope Thor stays fat. I'm going to say it right
now. Me too.
I need more fat heroes. I need more fat heroes.
No, we're not going to say fat.
If you're not going to give me a Big Hero 6 sequel, we're going to bring back the fat robot Baymax, then give me fat Thor.
It's the whole thing of, you put Chris Hemsworth in that area too, where he has to act like he's losing weight.
Yeah.
And Thor's trying to lose weight.
I mean, like comic relief.
You put
amazing.
Him in the most weird situations, he shines.
It's true.
Comedy-wise.
Yeah.
You know,
you're right.
But that's also
weird. It also humanizes the God of Thunder. Yeah. Like, oh, well, my ex-girlfriend's around, so let me, like, suck my gut in. Right? Like, swell up. Oh, hey, Jane, what's up?
Yeah, how you doing? You know,
just this. Here's the thing,
are
too.
Are you gonna eat that, though?
I'm so curious how they're going to play this because, I mean, Endgame, we saw that Thor became worthy again. And the whole thing about Jane Foster getting the hammer was at the time that Thor wasn't worthy.
She picks
it up like, well, shit's still got to get done. And then she happens to be. And then, you know, she goes and wrecks shop and does her Thor.
The thing is, what Endgame established, both hammers exist. Both hammers are functional.
Right.
So, like, it doesn't mean that he has to give up Stormbreaker and he can still be Thor and she can also be Thor.
So I'm wondering.
You know what I mean?
And like, this brings in a whole other question. Like, because Cap at the end game goes and takes all the stones back and he leaves with Mjolnir.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming to return to 2014 or whatever Thor. So does he go to take it back to that Thor and then Jane Foster's like, hey, look what this is. I wonder if I can do it. Then all of a sudden it's like, crowd.
That would actually
while this
be a
nigga's
dope
out
start
with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right,
yeah.
That'd be a dope start to the movie.
I know. Marvel, pay me.
I will write your movie for a nominal fee. So then let's back it up and let's talk about these Disney Plus series. Because now, once Disney Plus drops, that means we're going to be dealing with content like this where you're going to see 10, 12, 15 projects dropping a year.
And they said these are what everyone kind of hoped the Netflix Marvel series would be in the sense of these are going to feed directly into the Marvel films. These movies are going to go hand in hand, be canon, part of the storyline, will provide additional character development between the films.
Yeah.
So we can see whether in the films will be like the big climax, basically, of these series. So the first one, starting off, we're picking up at the end of Endgame with Black in America and the Winter Soldier.
Yes.
Anthony Mackie confirmed he will be wearing the Black and Falcon costume along with the shield.
Exciting.
I'm super geeked for that.
I heard they got one of the writers for the John Wick
Yeah.
So
there's going to be some crazy Winter Soldier and gunfights in this.
Yes.
And of course, I mean, Captain Falcon too. Like, military training is going to be nuts choreography. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's, you know, like, to talk about, like, the success of Winter Soldier was when they really started to genre bend, like superheroes flexing them into different scenarios to make something more interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a, like, a political
spy thriller.
Yeah.
And I think what's going to let this a series like this shine is to, like, let them be military guys doing military shit that they happen to be superheroes too.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're super specialized agents, and that's what makes them cool.
Right.
And then I think also
as an episodic series, it's the perfect fit for it. Because they're going to give us 8 to 13 episodes, depending on which one it is, to flesh these stories out.
And the characters that we then get even more invested. Mm-hmm. So when, well, not to put the cart ahead of the horse, we look at another Captain America movie that we're really invested in Anthony Mackie.
Or even another Avengers movie, like, whichever happens. Yeah. I'm with it. I'm here for it. So yeah, Falcon Winter Soldier, that's fall 2020, coming to Disney. Disney Plus. And then the following spring, so between Shang-Chi and then before Multiverse of Madness, and I'm wondering what they're saying for spring, because Multiverse of Madness comes out May 7th, and it's supposed to follow directly after WandaVision, which is the next series, which pits you know, Scarlet Witch back with Vision, who we all know has been dead since Infinity War.
Yeah.
He did not come back in Endgame.
Not at all.
But so, he could come back in this series because he's a robot man.
Or this is how he can even be rebuilt, especially now you got, like, Super Smart Banner, like, you got Professor Hulk and everything like
Shuri,
that.
Who has what, some of
who could still be working on things. You got Shuri there. Or since they did officially announce that Scarlet Witch is going to be part of Doctor Strange 2, then perhaps this multiverse is all in her head. Because we all, if you're a comic book fan, you know, first off, Scarlet Witch is ridiculously OP.
Yes.
Like, she can, she makes realities when she has nervous breakdowns.
Yeah.
Like,
chaos magic and all the things. Exactly. Yeah,
Well, they call it chaos magic. She's a fucking beauty.
Right. That's not the point.
Right.
Like, anyway.
Yeah. But mutants are coming, so I can say that now. I can say that now. But yeah, so that's going to be wild to see her. And then Paul Bettany's, of course, coming back as the Vision. So they got the whole squad there. It's going to be dope. And then spring 2021, also, apparently both of these are spring 2021. Not sure how that's going to work. Loki, the Loki series, which you got old boy coming back as Loki.
Yeah.
Picks up directly at the part of Endgame when Loki makes off with the Space Stone.
Yeah.
So apparently that's going to be the intro, is wherever he, because he pops out of existence when he gets it in the movie, apparently him popping in is going to be the start of the Loki series. Like, wherever he ends up.
And then I keep seeing a picture where it was like in the 70s. He was in the 70s.
Cool.
And I'm like,
I wonder if they're going to give us Girl Loki.
Right.
I wonder if they're going to give us Girl Loki.
Anything's possible at this point.
Or I feel like this is the perfect chance to introduce the Enchantress too.
Ooh, I forgot all about it.
Because I feel like that could really lead into the whole Thor Love and Thunder, because she's the one who's, like, super crazy about Thor.
So that's the thing. So you look at the timeline, and you have all these other, like, secondary characters and supporting roles developing further. Yeah. It's going to inform the next movie, because there's all this space in between, like, Thor joining the Guardians at the end of Endgame, and then all this space in between the next, into the next Thor movie.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
which, and of course, Tessa Thompson is picking up as Valkyrie, who's the new King of Asgard.
Yep.
And they're saying that she's going to be the first, like, fully realized LGBT hero in the Marvel universe.
She said it on stage.
Yeah, she's looking for a queen. I volunteer as tribute. You know, need me to be, Tessa. I don't know. Whatever you need me to be. I'll brush the horse. You know what I'm saying? No shame in my game. That summer, the one I'm most excited for, and as a fan of animation, is the What If series.
The What If series.
That
actually
going to be crazy.
So for any of our listeners who don't know about what this was, and this is actually one of my favorite comics when I was a kid, is it essentially posits just some, like, left turns in the canon of the Marvel Universe.
Like Butterfly Effect type shit.
Yeah, right. So, like, it asks the question, what if, for example, what if Tony Stark were the master of the mystic arts? And then you get a whole storyline based on this fantasy casting of what happens when this character instead of that character does this thing, and then all of the reverberations of that.
Yeah.
Which is really cool, because you have so many years of all this continuity and all this kind of stuff, it allows you to just kind of do some weird fantasy stuff just to change a couple of details.
Yeah.
Just to kind of play with some things. But also in the notion of the multiverse, it makes all these things not only just fun exercises, but it also creates plausible new continuity and new characters that could pop up at any point in the Marvel Universe as a movie.
And then it was hitting at the zombies again, which y'all know zombies is my
favorite. Yes, they're back. But they're bringing back tons of the actual actors from the Marvel films,
which is amazing.
Voice acting.
I didn't think they were going to do that.
So Peggy Carter, I know one of the episodes is basically going to be like, what if Peggy Carter gets the super soldier serum and they're actually bringing back old girl to play Peggy to do the voice for it. There's going to be an Ant-Man episode where they're bringing back Paul Rudd to do Scott Lang. Jeffrey Wright is voicing Uatu the Watcher, who's going to be like the narrator of the series.
Yeah,
which I'm all the way here for. Like, I'm super geeky, and plus, I'm a big fan of animation. So I feel like this is going to be Marvel's chance to finally do right the one thing that DC has consistently beat them at, which is the animated features.
To really deliver something that's like interesting and maybe even critically acclaimed as well.
Right,
but then there's also the Hawkeye series, right?
Hawkeye Fall 2021. 2021 is going to be big for Disney Plus. Jeremy Renner's back, and it's all about him training Kate Bishop, which in the comics is Hawkeye 2, basically. Where he's the better archer, but she's supposed to end up being the better hero because, you know, he got dirt on his. He was out murdering.
When he went full Ronin, he's just out here committing murders. And they're like,
against light brown people, like Thanos was purple. Chill.
Why did you say that?
He killed the Japanese. He killed the Mexicans.
He wasn't massacring Canadians.
Yo, I got some words for him now.
The Italian mafia seemed to be fine.
He had a pouch for a chew right in his outfit.
Well, you know that scene, that the opening scene is supposed to be like Iowa.
Like on the farm. And apparently his wife, Linda Cardinelli, another actress who I would risk it all for.
I'm with you.
I appreciate your honesty.
I fucking hate Scooby-Doo, but she was bad as Velma.
Freaky.
Oh, what's her face from Grandma's Boy? Come on, yo. But she almost fell off when she was talking about, do you want mayo or mustard on your hot dog? First off, who puts mayo on a hot dog? That's the whitest shit I ever heard.
Okay, I was about to say, you already know. And then you answered your own question.
Ew.
It helps flesh out the idea that they're
Sometimes I forget. That'd be ranch.
They tried.
And then they said, as they dusted away. That's how it was.
The whole reason they got dusted.
So those are the official announcements, but there are a couple of other little pieces that they dropped hints about and confirmed with no specifics.
Yeah, Kevin Feige ended it with, and I'm sorry, but we didn't even have time to touch on Captain Marvel 2. We didn't have time to touch on Black Panther 2. We didn't have time to touch on Guardians 3. We didn't get time to talk about the Fantastic Four coming to the universe. We didn't even have time to talk about mutants.
Isn't that something?
But we did get a call from a 2-time Oscar award-winning actor who played a villain in Marvel Netflix, which their villains were top-notch. Cottonmouth was that guy. Mahershala Ali. I learned how to say his name for this purpose.
I was butchering it like crazy.
We talked about it before, and I shat all over it. I apologize. But yes, Mahershala Ali called and was like, hey, apparently right after doing the whole, you know, Coonan film Green Book. I can still criticize him even if he is dope.
He's a good actor. He got in a bad movie.
Right.
Yeah.
That he won an Oscar for.
Because still a bad movie.
People love to see
him. You can be awarded for doing dumb shit.
Right. So apparently, though, he called him and was like, hey, yo, I want to play Blade. And Kevin Feige was like, all right, bet.
I mean, what else are you going to say?
Exactly.
Right.
Okay.
Let me think about it for a minute.
Sure, let's do it. So then they bring him out on stage, and it's like, oh, Mahershala Ali, and he comes out, and he has a little hat, and he pops it, and he puts it on, and it just says Blade across the top. And they're like, all right, guys, see you later. And the whole place is like, what?
Yeah.
This is massive, because when you understand that the original Blade trilogy is the thing that allowed Hollywood to understand that the Marvel franchises or that superhero movies could really be successful. Yes. Blade did that work before everybody else did.
Yeah. You know, because what I'm saying? The only other successful superhero movies at the time were Batman.
Right.
Was the most recent
one. Yeah, yeah. Anyway. It was Superman and then Batman, mm-hmm. and, you know, like, Marvel was trying and it wasn't really working out. But see, Blade, the success of Blade opened up the doors
For X-Men
and to Spider-Man. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And Spider-Man was the one that was the big slam dunk for them, yeah. that pulled them out of bankruptcy, which allowed them to then make the deal with Disney, yeah. to then, you know.
I was reading that today. Disney bought, yeah. Marvel in 2009 for $4 billion,
mm-hmm.
and has since made $22 billion off of Marvel films.
That's a real.
That's not. Yeah. Including merchandising.
That's crazy.
Just off the films.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
10 years, Marvel's made $22 billion off of movies.
And that's all thanks to Blade. I'm going to go and say it right there.
Yeah.
That's my hot take.
Shout out
all thanks to Blade.
You're completely right.
You know? He made Blade. Also, he better have a cameo in this movie because he made Blade.
I hope they go ahead Blade and was cool.
Because if you look, at what the character is, like on paper, it's whack as fuck. Like, it's a black dude with
an exploitation.
Right, exactly. Right. That. So you got this nigga out here fighting vampires with an Afro puff?
Yeah.
No thanks. That sounds dumb. But they took the cool of Wesley Snipes,
yeah.
put him in black leather, had him do some kung fu, and was chopping up dudes left and right. That's dope. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
He just had a level of cool that just like made superheroes seem like they could be legit.
It's true. And you know? Not only the level of cool, but the level of badass that you didn't see much in black action stars.
Yes.
Because, also I mean, true. You have other black action stars. I mean, Will Smith at the time could have been counted as a black action star.
Yep.
There's like three or four more. But, right, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, hell, Eddie Murphy could have been counted as a black action star for a time in his career.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? But nobody had the swagger, really, of Wesley Snipes to do it when he did it.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty geeked for this reboot. But yes, as you were saying, you said you were thinking it too. I think that they should go ahead, fully embrace it, do the race bin, and make Wesley Snipes Whistler.
It'd be perfect. It'd be perfect. It'd be so perfect.
Yeah.
So that being said, you had some speculation. You had some, because the thing is, there is some absence in these conversations. Like, where there's no mention of anything in the Iron Man stuff. No Spider-Man.
Spider-Man 3.
No Avengers. No Captain America. No Hulk. No, you know, like.
My thing is, with Spider-Man 3, you left it on such a huge cliffhanger.
It's brilliant.
It painted, it set the stage for whatever comes next.
Yeah, and it was like, that's what my thought process, okay, we're going to hear what's next for Spider-Man. And then they didn't say anything, and I'm like,
it's too fresh. I don't think it's too fresh.
Right.
We'll get Spider-Man, Black Panther, and Captain Marvel at next year's.
Like Phase 5.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that, but then also I don't think they're going to do it. Like, if you haven't seen the end of Spider-Man, Spider-Man has his own huge major cliffhanger. And then the universe has its own cliffhanger.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Well, some light is showing on some shit. You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
It makes you want to go rewatch Spider-Man because then, like, all of a sudden you think back over the movie and you're like, oh shit, that wasn't right.
Yo, my wife Mary did that. She was like, did you notice that she called him this and nobody calls him that? Oh, you're bugging. Did you just watch the movie? And then, oh my God, I got to go home and apologize.
Let me go pirate this real quick.
Wait a minute.
But the both of the cliffhangers was amazing. And it left in, like, okay, so we seen something for fan casting.
Yeah.
For Kraven. I don't know if are we getting into that?
Yeah, let's talk about it real quick. Okay. We got a couple minutes before we can wrap it up. So, yeah, we can end on this. So, based on the mid-credits scene for Spider-Man, it perfectly sets up a Kraven the Hunter / and or Sinister Six storyline.
Mm.
And so Kraven, then, if you know the Alexei Kraven, I think his name or some stereotypically Russian name. He's a Russian dude that wears a fucking lion face on his chest and goes through the trouble of hunting down Spider-Man. Like,
yeah,
Spider-Man.
He hunts big game, and he's like, I'm going to hunt Spider-Man.
Right. Yeah. So we're gonna get him. Nobody else can get him. I'm gonna catch this.
I'm gonna catch him.
Yeah.
So there's talk of a rumor, of course, that they're going to have Kraven be from Wakanda.
which makes him actually a badass.
Right.
The theory then is that he's from like some lost or exiled tribe from Wakanda. He got the heart-shaped herb, and that's what gives him his abilities and whatnot.
So it's basically Black Panther versus Spider-Man.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So,
dumb.
Yeah.
Now, for me, knowing how Marvel gets down, I think the way they should do it is basically have that be a minor thing. Like, maybe have him get it, or get the herb or some shit like that, or be one of the dudes that maybe like a leftover from Killmonger's regime that goes and figures out a way to be like, nah, this. But he'd be a secondary character where like halfway through the movie, just kind of like they did with what's his face in the first one, underused Andy Serkis. Ulysses Claw. Just have him be like a minor villain where Black Panther disposes of him. He's like, I'm going to go to America. And then that sets it up for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I mean, whoever Black Panther 2. Actual main villain is or whatever, they can go from there. Because not only that, but that would be the perfect way to introduce Shuri to get to team up with Spider-Man.
Into
that, you put Shuri in New York with all her technical prowess and everything like that. She can be the one who builds the suit for Riri if they don't want to have Riri be the technical genius. Or she can meet another girl through this new Wakandan outreach that they started
in Los Angeles.
What was Spider-Man's love interest name on the first one? You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Vulture's army. I had seen something where she was actually Falcon at one point in a group. And they was talking about bringing her back.
Well, there is, was it like Spider-Girl, like Mayday Parker, one of the alternate lines?
Yeah, something like that,
Adrian Toomes had
a
granddaughter. Exactly. It was his granddaughter in the comics.
Yep.
Yep.
But she was mixed.
Yep.
She had the thing. So... Yeah, they could.
Well,
yeah.
So here's the thing, I know these are just us just kind of bullshitting and theorizing. When you understand that, essentially, in the Spider-Man 2, they have officially passed the baton to Spider-Man being the central character for the next few phases of the Marvel movies to fill the space that Iron Man is. Obviously not able to fill now,
but
understand that means that like all the Spider-Man stuff is going to be the driving narrative for all of the other characters.
But there's a big if attached to that on the back end side, because it's in the clause. Tom Holland, first off, only has one solo film left in his contract.
Right.
Yeah, one more solo film. But if Spider-Man doesn't make $1 billion, if this Spider-Man Far From Home doesn't make $1 billion global, then the full rights to Spider-Man revert back to Sony by default, and they can either do what they want with him or they can renegotiate with Marvel. And so it's like, man, I feel like I need to go see Spider-Man like 3 more times
to ensure that these storylines get where we want them to go. Right. Well, that's the thing. It's you know, and the thing is, you can still flex some of that intellectual property and some of those ideas and concepts without necessarily, you know, stepping on any of those toes. Or it also then maybe means you have to fast forward your plans for the Fantastic Four.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because over the next 2 years, we've got 10 new concepts or 10 more properties coming at us, which means it'll give them tons of options to move forward into phase 5.
Yep.
You know, which is all very, very exciting. It's a good day to be a geek. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. I think that's a good stopping place. Yeah.
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 Cool.
Any final words? Anything you need to plug or promote?
Anything I need? Yo, noobsandpros.com. Go there. I remembered my website.
Yeah, there you go. Check it out. That's right.
Join us for Fight Night if y'all want to get down. Friday night fights or some Wednesday night fights. I think you had on the schedule.
Wednesday this week and then Friday next week. It's every other week.
Bet. So come catch some digital hands.
Yeah. If you got the juice, go ahead and see if you can step up and make a name for yourself.
That's right.
Go be great.
What about you? Anything coming up?
Nah, we're just in album mode, man. We out here recording.
Sound of Progress.
The Sound of Progress. We're working with Progress Iowa again. We're writing a new show. We're rehearsing it right now. Opens at the Stoner Theater, downtown Des Moines, August 8th and 11th. Go ahead and check that out. Get some tickets. They're available online now.
Hey. All right. And I don't have anything to plug currently. Get at me. I'm on all the social medias. If you need some dope art, holla at your boy.
If you have art, you always have something to plug.
Yeah, that's true. I got some dope art. Holla at your boy.
Go buy it.
Get those
or commission.
Get one of the stickers that I just got a stack of sitting in my house because I got dope stickers.
How much are they?
$3 a piece. Or you get all four for $10.
See? Look at that. Yeah. Get them a deal. All right. This podcast brought to you by Andro DSM. Power up.
And Susie Sweet Treats. Secret ingredient is love. Not cocaine. We'll catch y'all next week. Same black time.
Same black channel.
All right. Peace.